this morning I begin with a question. Hopefully by God's leading, I will end with a question as well. The first question I begin with this morning is this. Who is your boss? I think that's a straightforward question. Who is your boss? Who is in charge? Who decides? Who do you follow? Who do you answer to? All these things involved. But actually, to ask this question in the context of a sermon needn't be as complicated as people make it. It is as straightforward as this. Who's the governor? Who's the governor of your life? Who's the boss? Because I think we all know in our everyday language, we know what that word means. We all know. In whatever sphere it's found, that word, we know what that word means. The boss. Do you acknowledge those who are in charge in your workplace as over you? Those who are in charge of you in your school? Those who are in charge of you in your home. You may not have thought it before, you may not have realised it before. All three of these instances, all three of these examples are placed carefully and definitely where God has placed them. Whether we like it or not, whether we like them or not, whether we rebel or not, it doesn't change it. We are told to obey those over us. Whether we have the most terrible boss in the world, we are told they have been placed over us. We have been placed over them, and we do all things as to Christ, as unto Christ. The same in the school, and most definitely in the home. God has placed an order. The head of the man is not the woman. The head of the man is not the woman. Once again, as with everything from God's infallible word, if you've got a problem with that, take it up with Almighty God. The head of the parent is not the child. But sadly, especially in the home situation, in the school situation, there is the knock-on effect. We've got people who work in schools, they can tell you this is true. The knock-on effect in the school picks up the pieces of this, you see. Just only the other day, I've been asked to volunteer to walk, just to walk the kids to the swimming baths and back, and to help them get changed and that. The answering back constantly. They know their own rights, these kids. It was within me to hold me back from giving them a clout myself. How dare they talk to an adult? And I, you see, even though I'm not their teacher, I don't put up with it. Or I say, I don't care who you speak to like that. You don't speak to adults like that. But it begins in the home. Children today are ruling their parents. They're deciding what happens. They're asked whether or not they'd like for something to happen. No, dear friends, it is not that way round. It is not that way round in anything of God's order. There are those things that God has placed in a particular order There are those who lead and there are those who follow. It's for their good, not for their ill. Where all goes upside down and back to front, it becomes for the ill, ultimately. But who is in charge of you? Who is in charge of you as an individual, ultimately? For what you must remember of the Church of Christ, the Church of Christ is that they are the redeemed of God. They are the redeemed of the Lord. They are those who have been bought with a price. Yes, there is a sense where the child of God, the true believer, can say, Jesus belongs to me. There is a sense. But first and foremost, the child of God belongs to him. God does not ask his people, what do you think you should do? God does not ask his people, what would you like? God does not ask his people or suggest to his people, pretty please, will you do this? God doesn't, like the parents of today, when telling off their children, say, excuse me. What's the point in that? Where's the authority in saying to a child, excuse me, when you are laying down the authority? No, excuse me. You just do it. God owns his people. They are the possession of him that paid in full the rate required with his own blood. A man might own a particular business in this world. He might have a very large business. He might have several businesses that come under one umbrella of one business. They can't do, or rather, they don't do everything themselves. They probably could if they gave every hour to it. But they realise that, and they entrust to others the care of their business to those who are not the boss, ultimately. But yet they are given some authority. They entrust the management of their business to someone else by delegation. Delegation, not abdication. You got that? Delegation, not abdication. The man who owns a business doesn't just abdicate responsibility of his business. He knows he must keep proper checks of those ones who he's delegated to. He still is the boss and fully in charge of decisions made. When it comes down to that board meeting, he's at the head of the table. Nothing is done without his say-so. We read of in Ephesians 4 of this Lord Jesus, who is Lord of all, who is Lord over his church, nonetheless gave gifts unto men. For the building up of his church, that we all might come to the fully grown, so that we neither be no longer be swayed by every shifting wind of doctrine, by the deceitfulness and cunningness of men. He gave gifts to men. They're gifts. They're just that. They're gifts. They don't come from a natural ability. They don't come from the natural self. They don't come from what is within that man. They are gifts, and they can be given and taken away as quickly as that. But they were given for a reason. for the building up of his church. Under him, though. Under him. For at no time does the Lord Jesus give over, abdicate, or give over authority over his church to men. Never. Never. Would you, with the greatest ones in this world that you love, as much as you trust people, as much as you entrust people at times, would you absolutely give care over to another? So not with the Lord Jesus and his loved ones. He never gives it absolutely over. He is the one who absolutely leads his church. For he is the only one who can absolutely lead his church. Now, I know this goes against the teaching of the world, the teaching of the church in the world. But I don't care, because this is the teaching of God. He is, underscore again, he is, capitals, he is the one and only head of his church. Have you got that? He is the one and only head of his church. I know there are many who claim to be and are addressed as head of the church, but note this: wherever it is in this world, anyone who takes that title, who's given that title, they can have it all they like. I tell you, on the authority of this book, it is because they are heads of the false church. No church at all, in fact. They are heads of the false church. They are tares. They are not wheat. You see, the enemy, while men slept, sowed tares amongst the wheat. They are not the church of the firstborn. They are not the church of Christ. They are not the church of the living God. They are the church of man. They are the church of the devil. Is this too strong? Take it up with God. For God the Son said those very words: you are children of your father the devil, because you believe not me, you follow not me and all my word. I dare say this is probably why the listening figures of sermon audio in the recent months have gone down of old sermons. Too strong, perhaps, for the evangelical world. Success, then, perhaps, in a small s. The church of the living God belongs to God alone. Christ never ever encouraged the slightest thought of man ruling over man in the church. Never did it. Never. And where there even arose a dispute over greatness amongst his disciples, he was very clear in his teaching. Even to suggest to them, are you willing to come and die with me? To die the death that I will die. You want to You want to place yourself over men in the church. You want to give special reverence to men in the church. Did they die for you? And not just die, did they bear the wrath of God in their own body on the tree? Nah. I thought not. As we continue this look at the statement made by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour, to Simon Peter, who has made this great declaration, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." As we continue the answer of the Saviour to Simon Peter, it is very interesting how God, in His sovereignty, in the events of history, as He is bringing about His purposes, even through the wickedness of men. It is amazing how God perfectly brings these things together, even today. For it is very topical. This message is very topical to the idolatrous pagan goings on in Rome this week. The worship of man. Man placing himself over God. You always know when it is pagan and it is idolatrous and it is not of Christ. The world goes after it. The political leaders. She who must know better in that palace across this city even bows before this idolatrous false Christ in Rome. Now I've done it, haven't I? But it's true. It's true. The world never goes after the Christ. And the world never reverences the Christ. The world hates Christ. The world never reverences His word. The world hates His gospel. But the world loves to go after that which is idolatrous. And they've been there. You couldn't turn on your TV and radio this week without being bombarded with it. 24/7. Over a puff of smoke. And that's all they are. A vapour. The false claim that the papal power was passed down from Peter. This humble Peter. Do you see any similarity? This humble Peter, who there is no historical evidence for him ever entering Rome. There is no historical evidence for him ever being in Rome, let alone crucified upside down, let alone the first bishop of Rome. This is totally at odds with and blasphemous towards God Almighty. And to have anything to do with it is to be justly condemned with them as well. Choose yourself which side you be on today. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, Petros, small rock. And on this rock, Petra, founding rock. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Upon this teaching, upon me and my teaching, Christ, the Son of the living God, and my word, I will build my church. We've looked over the last few weeks at two important points in this statement by the Lord Jesus Christ that we could very easily overlook. When he says, "And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it," we see, and we have seen, that Christ Jesus alone is the foundation of the church. Christ Jesus alone is what the church is built upon. None other. None other foundation can be laid save Christ Jesus and him crucified. We've also seen that Christ Jesus is that only foundation and no man. He never intimated it to Peter, and Peter never accepted it as being him being the foundation. Just read his writings in the holy word of God, his inspired writings. He never gives a hint that he received it as carte blanche for him to lord it over man. Never. Secondly, we saw that Christ Jesus not only is the foundation, he is the one who builds. He's brought the materials, those precious stones, built up into one holy temple, into one holy church, wherein dwells the Spirit of the living God. Who does he build this church with? The living stones of those born again of his Spirit. But they are born again of his Spirit as those who must be saved, such as must be saved. They are called. They are called in different times. They are called. But at one time, at the end of the ages, by the sacrifice of himself, he bought them. He bought them where he offered up himself, that perfect sacrifice. He has bought the material, and he's placing them as he wills to in his own time until he has completed this glorious church. He is the one that builds. Nothing we can come up with, nothing we can imagine, nothing we can plan will ever build the church. Nothing. I will build my church. And so we see this week what would seem an obvious thing, but sadly to those who are blinded to spiritual things, it is not obvious. I will build my church. My church. Christ is the only boss. It belongs to him. And nobody can lay claim to being its head but him alone. So firstly, we see that to lay claim to being head of his church, that such a thing is strongly condemned and forbidden by the Lord Jesus. He says in Matthew 23, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Oh, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. I won't go into details, but it's been even topical from the false religious so-called Christianity of this world. They say, but they do not. They do much evil and keep people down in the process. They say and they do not, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all of their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. They carry the very law of God, fragments of the law of God, to be displayed on their clothing, on their heads, across their clothing. How great and pious are these people! And love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues. It's amazing how many doors a dog collar opens. They love the feasts, the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, he instructs his disciples. He instructs these men granted much authority. Be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Rabbi, Rabbi meaning master. Father meaning God. What blasphemy. What blasphemy abounds. Men look to have a title of some description right across the board. Men love titles. Not to mention the women that love the titles. Should be nowhere near those titles. They love a title. They love a title. And then another one next to it. As if it's going to make a difference. Sadly it does. Sadly we must admit it does. When you see a title of someone, you pay attention to it. Someone who is identical to someone else in their authority, but because they don't have a title, they have no authority. Oh, look at me with all my human worth. Look beyond the false church though. Look beyond the false church that we recognise. Is it Rome and the Eastern Orthodox, the dead religion? But look beyond this. Look beyond this and see a falsehood that is in the non-conformist and evangelical church. Get our own house in order. Adopting names that belong to God alone. Reverend this and reverend that. How dare they? Reverend is his name. I told you to underline it earlier. Psalm 111 verse 9. That's why it's been taken out of the other translations, so they can get away with it. But the greater hypocrisy is not those who have another translation. Most of those who call themselves reverend have the AV. They worship the AV as a book, but they pay no attention to its word. When I was made redundant from the TBS, this is one thing I was pleased of. One thing that I praise God for, I was released from the chains of making my opinion known. For it irked me so many times about the reverend this and the reverend that being referred to. It is blasphemy against God. If you dare take that up with God, if you dare. There is one head of the true church, and that is Christ Jesus the Lord, who is God. Anything else is to usurp authority over the Son of God. Ephesians 1:22 tells us quite clearly that God has made it so. And he put all things under his feet, that is Christ, under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Not just a figurehead, not just bearing his name. He is head over all things to the church. Not what we allow him to be. He is over all things. If we don't accept him as head over all things and cast aside all who have any special privileges of men, we show ourselves to not love Christ. For we love men rather than Christ. The word of God goes on to say in the 23rd verse of Ephesians 5, in the natural order we see, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. I said earlier on, no one throughout history can lay claim that they redeemed the church. So, stand aside and shut up. He is the head, and none other. What about the unbiblical world of itinerant preachers, though? Men love this itinerant ministry. Do you know why? Shall I tell you why there are so many itinerant preachers who go around the circuit preaching at this conference, that conference, this church, that church, never found in their own so-called base church? Do you know why? And do you know why people love to have an itinerant preacher? Because the message will never be that strong enough. They will always tone down their message to be invited back. And they'll gratefully accept the check. They'll gratefully accept the check. I always remember dear Pastor Graham, he used to say to me, he hated being away from Mick, and he would only one or two places, perhaps only one place he'd ever go. I think it was only one place he'd ever go. He'd help them out because of the much blessing we'd had through dear Pastor Thomas at Westminster many years before, who was instrumental in leading him to the Lord. He saw his place was here. He would only, I think he would only ever, at most, be twice a year he'd ever be away, and it would be there. And that was out of loyalty to them, to help them out if they were in a fix, especially when Pastor Thomas was poorly. And he said, I never accept a check. I tell them, put it in the collection. And we're not talking about just large amounts of money. We're even just talking about just expenses for getting there. Petrol money or but in the collection. I'm not doing it for this. But you see, itinerants are paid nicely for their work. And everyone's happy, you see, because the congregation doesn't hear a message that upsets them either. They can even cherry pick the itinerant, decide what the message is for that day, what the topic is. The Word of God is never read systematically, you see. It is unbiblical. Going around from place to place, making a living from this. Especially the lucrative conference circuit, of which there are far too many for no purpose at all. They get so confused as to what they're going to talk about. In the end, they start asking, how do we preach the gospel? Well, if you don't know how to preach the gospel, step aside. You don't know it, do you? At a conference, being told what is the gospel. Only the names get invited, you see, to these conferences. The names, and they get advertised. When did you last see a conference advertised where the speaker was not? The Word of God's going to be faithfully preached. I haven't got anything against gathering together for fellowship and enjoying fellowship with others of like mind. But why not advertise and say, we're coming together for the preaching of the Word, and we're going to come around the Word, and God's going to speak, God willing, a word in season to us. But we're not going to tell you who's preaching. Did you ever hear an advertisement for that? Even this week, someone invited me to their anniversary service, but they had to put in there who was speaking. Why? I tell you why. It's idolatry. People go to such seminars and conferences or watch satellite TV self-proclaimed leaders, and these are their authority. Oh, so and so said this, and so and so said that. No Berean spirit checking whether these things be truly so by the Word of God. Their authority is not the Word of God, not the order set up by Christ himself, namely pastors and teachers. And note in Ephesians 4, pastors and teachers is one man. They're not several people, but he's a teacher and he's a pastor. A pastor that can't teach is no pastor at all. They are the one and the same individual, and that is the only office in leadership in the church. But you go to so many places and the deacons decide what happens here and what happens there. Rubbish. The deacons have no authority over the ministry of the Word. There might be some who are gifted to preach, but they have no authority over the pastorate. Indeed, ultimately, people see men with impressive CVs as authority over the Christ. That's really what they're saying. They may not say it, they may not admit it, but in action they are saying that people with certain names and titles and recommendations are over the Christ, the Son of the Living God. So let's be careful before we throw stones at Rome. Let's look within first and not be found hypocrites. If this be not so, then why do such as proclaim things that are untrue, and we find they are untrue from the Word of God, and at odds with Christ and His Word, why are these people never rejected? Oh yeah, they might have this wrong, but he's a good man. Well, you're going to have to apply that to every other kind of false religion then, aren't you? He's a good man, but he's got the whole work of salvation completely wrong. But he's a good man. Secondly, special titles, as I've hinted just now, are a sign of pagan idolatry. Worshipping the creation rather than the Creator. Romans 1. And it is clear that to take special authority and power over the people of God is a sign of not being of the Lord. Those who seek to take power and authority over men's lives show themselves to be strangers to God. Matthew 20:25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, let him be your servant. Not minister with the dog collar, your servant, serving you. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. This man knows all his faults and all his shortcomings and all his weaknesses. But I can say hand on heart with all honesty, although that I have a lot more that I can do, I can say with all honesty that not one in this place knows that I would not answer the phone at whatever time of the day. There's no such thing as being on duty and off duty. I might have 1,001 things as flaws and not got them right yet. But I cannot be accused of that, because I do not want to be found a hypocrite. But it's not time to talk to you now. There's never a time. There's never a right time. Only now. There is only one who has been granted all authority, though, in heaven and on earth. There is only one who has been granted all authority. And so there is no room for special privileges to a mere man, to hold man in such a high esteem that it blinds us to their false teaching, however much we love them. No one is granted the title of Christ's representative on earth to the church. No one. No one. Christ is his own representative by God the Holy Spirit. No one else. That right belongs to God the Spirit alone, who dwells within the true people of God, the church of the living God. Some would say, well, this one and that one does a lot for charity, or is so humble, they're so pious. Well, I would answer, are they really? Are they? Well, how comes we hear about it then? What does Christ even say here? For his, although the context being his time was not yet, immediately he tells them, after he's revealed to them that this is true, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, what does he say? Tell it not to no man. Every time he performed a miracle, don't spread it abroad. But people are so humble, we know about it. This is false humility. Then why do they accept titles if they be humble? Why do they accept titles from men? See a man who was used greatly of God. Now perhaps we would dare say was the greatest of the apostles. He's not here to argue, for he would say otherwise, I know. But he who perhaps was the greatest of all the apostles, the apostle Paul. And see what he said of himself. I am the least of all the saints, let alone the apostles. I'm the least of all the believers. When addressing by divine authority the church of God which was at Rome, long before this wicked edifice came to be, when addressing those persecuted small band of people in Rome that were at Rome at the time, in his epistle at the outset, how does he introduce himself? Paul, a servant of Christ, called to be an apostle by the will of God, not by a puff of smoke. Lastly, Christ must have all the attention. Christ must have all the attention. Christ must have all the attention and then some. He must be number one in all things. Colossians 1 verse 18 we read, and he is the head of the body. He wasn't just given to be the head. He is the head. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. He is the only primate. We look to him and not to another. He is the boss. He is the governor. He is the king. He is the great high priest of his people. No priests exist now between man and God. No priests. The only priesthood there is now is the priesthood of all believers who come through Jesus, the great high priest, and come directly. We have been made kings and priests to God, says the scriptures. No special favour to a pastor in terms of access to God. A pastor can't pray to God any more than another believer can. There is one mediator, you see. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Look to him. Look to him alone. No vicar, no parish priest, no monk, no pastor, not the Queen, not Benedict, certainly not Francis now. One mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Him alone, he who is the Son of the living God. Although there is an order given by Christ under his rule to lead his people, the people of God are not left in disorder to try and work it all out. There is an order given by Christ under his rule to lead his people. They are called under shepherds. And the pastoral authority which must give a greater, more awesome account to God Almighty. Don't ever imagine that to be proclaiming this word and seeking to lead people to the way of following Christ is something to be aspired to. They've got to bow before and reverence him who is Almighty God and must give an account for everyone that has heard that word. There is no one who can lay claim to be Christ's representative, you see, on earth. Yet Christ, who is over all, has his servants on earth nonetheless, serving his church, given to the church for a reason, to instruct the people of God in the ways of God, to follow God. The true preacher, the true minister of the gospel, always and only leads you to Christ and to obey his word. Not to the church teachings, not to the church traditions, not to even to the basis of faith, but to Christ. Hebrews 13:17. Listen to this. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Listen here. Obey them that have the rule over you. Obey here. Obey here means, it means to comply, to have confidence in, to trust. All I require is trust me. If you have no confidence or trust, you must remove me. This is what it means. I've got to give an account. Have the rule over means here, them that go before. Those that go before. Them that lead. You will never see a shepherd or under shepherd in the natural realm with sheep. You will never see them running after sheep. Never see it. People say they want you to go and chase after people and run after people and make people do things. That is not the role of a shepherd or an under shepherd. They show the way to go. And sheep always follow. Always follow. That's what it means here. Submit. What does that mean? It means to resist no longer. That's what it means. To resist the word of God no longer. But this is the context that is spoken of here. It means to resist the word of God no longer. For you know, you trust that this word has come from God. And you resist it no longer. You receive it as the word of God. The Church of Christ follows not a mere man, or slavishly yields everything to the teachings and commands of men. Yet Christ has given ministers of the gospel to his precious church for their good, to teach them what he has taught them. I can't tell you anything that I haven't learnt myself. So the flock of Christ entrusted to the care of his servants are not to resist the word of God when faithfully preached. When it's not faithfully preached, please, please, please resist it. Don't go through the motions. If it's not true, close your ears. Do you apply this teaching, this command from Christ? Will you stop your resisting of his word preached? Resist, as I said, resist always the teachings of man and the opinions of man. But will you continually resist what has been shown to you from this book? Will you stop resisting his word preached? Are you being bent to the will of God, to the will of Christ, to submit to him as Lord and Saviour? Stop resisting. You can't anyway. Let go. Not let go and let Jesus. It's not this easy believism. But you may as well hear his command. And believe and repent. Because you're going to anyway. Do you trust the servant of God preaching his word? That's why I said to you last week, you must be here before the service praying intently that God will speak to you, that God will also cause the man to be faithful in the preaching of the word. Just a man, not a priest, not a go-between, just a man, like passions as you. If you do trust the servant of God preaching his word, you will follow the way Christ through the preaching of his word leads. It's Christ that's leading. If his word is being preached, it's Christ that's leading, who's head of the church. The Saviour commands his people to follow. He never begs or pleads. He never will. He commands. When that man went away sad, but he had many possessions, and Jesus said, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor. Tell me where it says in that book that Jesus ran after him. Tell me. A shepherd leads, never chases, never pleads. So the servant of Christ shepherding his flock is not called to chase anyone up. Is not called to pressurize or make people do anything. He shows the way to go. He says, this is the way. Walk ye in it. He shows the way to go after Christ. He shows the way you must follow him and no other. So I ask the question, why take heed to the preacher of the gospel? Why pay attention? Why listen? And why take on board what the preacher of the gospel says? Why pay attention to what I am saying to you even now? It's a question that must be asked. But listen. Hebrews 13 says, "For they watch for yourselves, as they that must give account." I must give a special account to God for every word I say to you. And God help me if I say something that is not true. Watch for your souls here means to be sleepless, to watch, to be ready. As that watchman who's always on lookout. I think it's about just turning up here and going through the motions. It's to be on the watch. To be on the watch. Oh, that my God would keep me. An application to me would keep me sleepless in my commitment to his people. To keep watch out for your souls. I am ready, always ready to, like Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. When it's not considered the right time and when it is considered the right time. Instant, in season and out of season. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. Follow him then. Believe on the Son of God and follow him alone as your head. Who is your boss? Who is your boss? What is the most important thing? Who is the most important one in your life? I don't advise. I don't suggest. I don't grant you a choice. If you belong to Christ, his word says he must have the preeminence.